Welcome to Breaking Banks, the number one global fintech radio show and podcast. I'm Brett King.
And I'm Jason Henricks. Every week since 2013, we explore the personalities, startups, innovators, and industry players driving disruption in financial services.
From incumbents to unicorns, and from cutting-edge technology to the people using it to help create a more innovative, inclusive, and healthy financial future. I'm JP Nichols, and this is Breaking Banks.
Welcome to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. And as you know, Breaking Banks is the number one fintech podcast and radio show on the planet. We're very grateful to have the folks at Plaid back with us today. We've had them on the show a few times recently. Obviously, there's been a ton of stuff going on over there. There was a merger, then there wasn't. And we won't get into that today, though. We're going to talk about some more substantive stuff on the Plaid Exchange side, which is an initiative that they're leading to partner with FIs. Why don't we jump straight into it? We've got some great guests with us. We've got the head of product for financial access, Plaid, Nico Karvounis. Is that right, Nico, how I pronounce it?
You got it. Nailed it.
You came to Plaid through an acquisition. So you're a tenured founder and product lead focus on driving innovation at Plaid. How long ago did you join them? Or how long ago was the acquisition?
Yeah, I've been with Plaid just about 2 years, 2 years and a couple months now, I think.
Great. Also joining us from the financial access team is Plaid Exchange lead, Jess Romano. Jess, welcome to Breaking Banks.
Thanks so much, Brett. Happy to be here.
Tell me about, we'll get into the Plaid Exchange in just a moment. I've got one more guest to introduce before we do that. That is Ben Maxim. Ben is the VP of Digital Innovation and Strategy at Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. If you can say that six times quickly, you can accomplish something. MSUFCU. I don't even feel safe saying that, but anyway. Ben, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's a lot to say and share. I feel you.
Exactly. obviously, we're going to hear from Ben in a moment in terms of their experience with the Plaid Exchange. But first of all, let me start with either Nico or Jess, if you want to take this. What is the Plaid Exchange? And tell me a bit about contextually what's been happening for Plaid in the last few months. What have you seen as a result of sort of all the digital acceleration due to COVID?
Sure. I'll take this one. So Plaid Exchange is what we call an open finance platform for financial institutions. And what that really means is the following. If you think about the world we live in today, which is partially due to COVID, but partially just due to the sort of inevitable progression of digital finance and innovation, people look at their financial accounts not as something where you just deposit money and it sits there. They use it, right? They use it to connect to apps and services, and they view their financial account as their data that they want to permission and connect to other things that they might need, right? They want to go and use a budgeting app. They want to send money to friends. This has actually become table stakes, I think, for financial services, oh, right, in this sort of day and age. In the same way that if you're a consumer and you get really frustrated if your bank or your financial institution has a bad website or an app that's glitchy, it gets frustrating if you can't connect your account to these apps and services. And it's actually something that we've seen is not just for consumers, but it's also for the financial institution, because it's actually a key trait of having account primacy, right? Being the central account for someone is more likely and a stickier proposition when they can actually connect it to all the things they want to use through that account. And so what Plaid Exchange is it's a product suite for solutions for financial institutions to enable them to stand up the APIs, the different tools and different solutions that they need for an open finance program that would enable that frictionless connectivity for their end customers.
Does this include payments?
So where we're really focusing now is what the value proposition for the Plaid network has been historically, which is connecting your account to those apps and services and just making sure that the data can flow, right? And so there's a very fundamental use case there.
The core aggregation use case, sure.
Yeah. Exactly, right. There's a lot of wood to chop there, right? Just in terms of, and we'll get into it, but I think, the way the industry has evolved is companies like Plaid and my previous company, Quovo, you know, there weren't these dedicated services to tap into to get this information previously. And so the demand was there for consumers, but the technology and infrastructure wasn't quite there. But we've proven the demand over the last few years, right, with the millions of folks who need to connect their apps and their services. And in the COVID world, I mean, that's just even more essential, right? People literally aren't leaving their houses. So they've got to do this digitally. And so that actually infrastructure, that platforming to enable the use cases for end consumers, Plaid Exchange is a platform, a modular platform to help accelerate that so that financial institutions can build that and support that for the digital future.
You know, you're sounding like you've seen a fairly significant increase in activity on the platform due to COVID. Am I reading that right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're in this business in part because we have a conviction that the future of finance lies in, you know, the digital work that we're all doing. And I think we sort of do that every day and we work toward that future. And then suddenly you get these exogenous things that happen, right, and accelerate that future. And that's what we've seen recently.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's plenty of people saying that they've, you know, had 10 years of, you know, tech investment, you know, paid for this, the last 12 months as a result of, you know, the lift in digital. So, Jess, maybe I can ask you for a little bit more detail on Plaid Exchange in terms of how it works, how, you know, if an FI comes along and says, yeah, we want to be a part of this, what happens next?
Yeah, and this is a conversation that Ben and I had several months ago, so he can also give his perspective on this. But yeah, so basically Plaid Exchange, as Nico mentioned, is our open finance platform, and it originally started out back in 2019 after we heard a ton of feedback from the market, namely our financial partners, that they really wanted a more structured way to enable data sharing for their customers, a way that was also, you know, enhanced security, enhanced privacy, operationally, just easier to run and to scale and to manage. And, you know, we're working with many banks and credit unions to basically say, like, how can we help? We have obviously been in this space for quite some time, and we sit right in the middle of all of these relationships between all of our customers, about 4,200 of them today across the digital finance space, and then about 11,000 institutions on the financial partnership side. So, you know, all that is to say is we've had a ton of learnings over the past few years in what types of technologies we could create and build and provide to the industry to offer this better way to connect. So essentially, the platform started out as a kind of singular API called Plaid Direct back in the day, and now it's called Plaid Exchange because we've really kind of created a robust platform with additional features and functionality over the past year and a half or so. So we officially launched it back in May of 2020, kind of, you know, went right after the pandemic started. And
great, you know, time to launch new product.
You know, there's a need, right? And when there's a market need, you know, Plaid was really excited to be able to help, not just on the data sharing side of the business, but also on the commercial side of our business to support things like PPP loans also. Right. So sometimes it works, and when it does, that's great. So, you know, the platform today is basically a token-based API at its core, enabling kind of that two-way data sharing between, you know, consumers that permission their data with their financial institution and have that direct connectivity to Plaid. So In a nutshell, that's how it works today. And we can get into kind of how the implementation works, but basically it's a dedicated way to share data.
So Ben, first of all, before we get into the actual implementation, what made you interested in this? What was the core driver for you to go, we need this aggregation capability and we need it now?
Absolutely. So I've been working in digital and credit unions for 13 and a half years, from developer leading those areas to now my current role leading digital strategy innovation, and really looking at where the credit union space was even a couple of years ago, where we thought we had to own every experience. We couldn't have these partnerships unless they looked like us and they were kind of in the background. But that's to the detriment of our members. We found, you know, they're trying to use a lot of these services, you know, to augment, and really, we can't be everything to all people. But we can provide enablement through Plaid Exchange to a lot of different kind of niche groups. And they're already self-selecting what they need by using these different fintech apps. And, you know, they're calling us. We got a lot of calls over the summer. I think a lot more people were focused on their money, looking for things in line with financial wellness. How is my money flowing in and out of my account? Give me more information about it beyond just seeing my balances and, you know, me looking through my statements or transactions. And these fintech apps enable that. We also had a lot of people, I think, who are looking to do things like get more engaged with services like Robinhood. They have more time to focus on trying things. There's a lot more press. And
Robinhood's been trying a few things lately.
They have been trying a few things. Yeah, so there are a lot more people trying these services than before.
Fintech, Joe.
Yeah, right. For sure. But a lot more people are trying these services than before. We have... as a university-based credit union, before COVID even happened, we were trying to, you know, increase our digital engagement and, you know, seeing this as a way to do that. We have 30% of our membership, we have 300,000 members, 30% of them live more than 30 miles from branch, and 14% of them live outside of the state of Michigan. So a lot of people are not, you know, able to interact with us outside of digital means or calling us. So they're looking for these channels. So looking for that enablement, our members are calling us when these services don't work. They're breaking because, you know, even though we're not supporting it through Plaid Exchange, Plaid is still able to connect the accounts and get some services. But without that actual direct connection through Plaid Exchange, you know, the services are limited. And, you know, for us as an institution, if we want our members to stay our members, we have to facilitate what they want to do with that data, with their money. And really put them in charge of what that looks like. The other thing the Plaid Exchange platform gives is our members control over that data and to manage and see those different connections they have with the fintech app. So kind of the management of their data and being able to put them in control was really kind of the main reason to start going down this path.
Absolutely. Did you guys get the whole member customer thing? You figured that out with credit unions? It's a different language, the way they talk about their customers with, as members. So, and that also belies the service strategy that credit unions feel very strongly about their credit unioning skills for their customers, members, sorry. How long did it take you, Ben, to sort of spin this up and go live with it?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of the implementation right now. Okay. More so due to us, Plaid's ready to go. They got us what we needed very quickly. It's about in the documentation Plaid provides, it's 12 to 16 weeks. We're on pace to do that.
That's pretty efficient.
Build out. Yeah, it's very efficient for what it is. Absolutely. One fun surprising thing. There's some of the issues our members were having. Plaid was actually able on their end to enable some things for us that solved some of the immediate needs. So that was a great benefit and gave us a quick lift from the start of engaging with this platform. So that was a huge benefit for members using things like Robinhood who weren't able to use it before. Plaid made some changes on their end that enabled that, and now we have a lot of happy members just from that alone. And working through the more direct connection here with our dev team.
Great. You know, if I may.
Go ahead, Dinka.
Ben, we love working with Ben because of a lot of what he just said. There's a lot to unpack there that I think is actually, you know, really forward thinking for what we're trying to do in the industry and how to think about this, which is this is not about, you know, standing up an open finance platform and then either side sort of walking away and saying, great, we're done. We did the thing, right? It's about an ongoing partnership and an ongoing commitment as partners to delivering value for his members, right? And doing so in a way that's focused on innovation and future-proofing the value proposition for those members. And you know, a lot of what Ben said, he sort of said very matter-of-factly, but it's actually really cutting-edge thinking in terms of the industry. And those are the types of folks that we love working with and that we're building Plaid Exchange with. Because that's where this is going, which is really cementing the partnership that powers the network, right? Between consumers, Plaid, and financial institutions, credit unions that have that data, want to provide the member experience, and want to deliver that value back to consumers. So we really view it as an ongoing commitment. It's a technology partnership, but it's also a deepening of our relationship. And that's the type of combination that we need to pursue and really cement in the future. Ben gets it. Lots of other folks get it. And we've been really excited to work closely with the people who do that. And that's really, you know, Plaid Exchange is technology, but it's also a point of view, right, on technology and on relationships and how to build this network for the future.
So why do you think it's important for members, customers, to, I'll direct this to all three of you, to have sort of an aggregated view of finances? How does that change their day-to-day behavior when it comes to money?
Yeah, I'll start. I think the way people are interacting with their money, you know, there's this kind of, you know, thought in the industry that we want to be the primary institution, but I think we're to a point where we're realizing that that's not the case. It's hard to be that. You know, people are able to find some of these services. A lot of, you know, we work with a lot of university students. They're not even, you know, using banking services. They don't
think they want to be their primary financial manager.
Exactly. That's what we want to do. We want to be the one that gives them the insights, allow them to play with their money and show them the value of what they can do with it. You know, if they have a credit card, you know, at one institution, they have an auto loan with us, you know, and, you know, they're checking somewhere else. You know, how do they actually know what they should spend day to day? You know, they also have a large, you know, especially with the college group, you know, a large portion of their money is just left in a Venmo, Cash App type account where, you know, it's not in the bank at all. So, you know, how do we, you know, encourage them to use the services that a credit union have, and you know, what can we provide to them? A lot of that is service, but you know, if they're getting these things in a digital app, you know, how do we show them that service if they're not interacting with us? So these are the ways that we can provide that service, develop that relationship with them by using this aggregated view and show them the value of their money, no matter where it's located.
Very good. Yeah. Nico, you want to add something? Oh, Jess, you go.
Yeah, sure. So I think there's a whole generation now, or multiple generations now, that are, you know, what we consider digitally native, who have grown up with smartphones in their hands and have an expectation that they should be able to manage their money. And really what we've seen with the pandemic and COVID over the past year plus is that that's really a need. It's not just a want at this point. I don't really think that's going to be a trend that reverses. And
I agree.
We have a unique vantage point with all of our customers who are providing tons and tons of innovative services. And many of our financial partners, like credit unions, are also providing these new and innovative services to their customers, not just the, you know, traditional fintechs as you would think of them. And in providing these different ways of evaluating credit, for example. So if you're someone that's trying to get a loan, you know, you have a need to look at all of your cash flows, not just necessarily your investment accounts or your savings accounts, or whatever it may be. So, you know, I think it's trending really well for people that need or want those other viewpoints. And it's giving lenders, as an example, but many different service providers, a better picture and a more equitable picture, honestly, of the ways that people, you know, manage their money and should be able to kind of manage their money going forward. So it's been great to see all of that.
Good. Nika?
Yeah, I mean, when you zoom out, there's sort of two chunks of things that people do with their bank accounts, right? They want to learn stuff or they want to do stuff with their financial account, right? So what is your balance? Like, what is my allocation, right? Like, what are my recent transaction histories? And then doing stuff is funding accounts, right? Opening accounts, paying for things. And at the end of the day, what we're doing is really powering those fundamental use cases for this information and for those accounts. And so when you think about sort of what is the value proposition of aggregation, it is what people have always wanted to do with or needed to do with their financial accounts. But
didn't have the tools to do it.
Yeah, but updated, right? Like everything else, like brought into the future, brought into modern technology, reducing the friction for it, right? And for a lot of these services, right, when you go and you want to get financial advice, for example, if you don't aggregate your accounts and give them a full view of what you have, that's a little like going to the doctor, not filling out any of the paperwork beforehand, right? About like, what is my condition? What is my profile? So it's really fundamental to a lot of the models that you have out there for financial advice, targeting opportunities, really understanding your customer.
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys are familiar with my book, Bank 4.0. But in that, I talk about the concept of the fact that digital is allowing us to move from products to experiences. That what's critical in the medium term is that people will be competing on a credit experience, not on access to a credit card product. Right. So, as an example, when you walk into a grocery store, you know, if you don't have enough cash, to buy your groceries today, you want a solution presented as you walk in the store, not getting someone telling you as a bank when you check out that, well, you have to apply for a credit card. And then in the future, we'll be able to help you with if this ever happens again. But right now, today, we can't do anything, right? So the contextualization of the banking utility, we're seeing it with Buy Now, Pay Later, with Peloton as well, and things like that, is an application of, you know, in the moment scenario or experience-based interactions. And the data, understanding the customer's behavior, for example, understanding that they go shopping at that grocery store every 2 to 3 weeks, and that could be a trigger for a credit offer if the balance doesn't meet their average spend, as an example. You need data for that. You know, that's core to building those sort of smarter level of experiences, or what I call the smart bank account wars that are coming, you know, with the wallets versus the day-to-day debit cards and things like that. Here ends the instructional video on Bank 4, I guess. But Ben, this capability that you're talking about, do you think that results in not just obviously better allocation of or better access to the services you guys provide, but are you seeing actual behavioral changes where people are able to spend more money or they make better credit decisions based on this type of data?
So through some of the fintech partnerships we've had that use Plaid on the back end to enable them, you know, the reason we are pursuing those is to provide that, you know, provide the education, provide, you know, more holistic view into your finances so you can make better decisions in the moment, in the day, you know, realize, you know, some of what we're doing is student loan focused. So, you know, paying off a little extra on your student loans, you know, enables future growth for you. If you want to buy a house, if you want to buy a car, whatever your kind of future plans are, it's important to get those student loans paid off sooner, you know, and being able to see that data and understand it, interact with it, and then also do some projections and
Where's the fungibility? Where can you change it? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and what is the value of that cup of coffee every day? You know, maybe that's important to you, so you keep that. But what else can you make changes in? Or is it just a cash flow problem? Like maybe you don't buy the expensive thing today, you buy it in 3 weeks after you've had two paychecks come in. So I think what you're saying with the, you know, enabling, I think we've seen Square do quite well with that on the business side, providing those offers to the small businesses in the moment. I think, you know, that definitely makes sense to come over to the personal finance side, and then you'd be able to, you know, have that, you know, contextual embedded experience. And, you know, especially with the buy now, pay later kind of revolution that's happening, I think, you know, a lot of people are looking for solutions to help them know when is a good time to spend that money.
Yeah, this is very important for fee revenue for institutions as well. There's a really good book on that behavioral change. You talked about the coffee. There's a guy called David Bach, New York Times bestseller, wrote a book called The Latte Factor, which describes exactly that change in behavior, which is pretty interesting. But are you guys also familiar with one of our other hosts that comes on regularly, Ron Shevlin, writes for Forbes?
Yep.
So Ron, yeah, Ben knows him. Ron talks a lot about this shift away from the primary financial institution to your primary financial manager, which is really what you're describing, Ben. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Ron's a good resource. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. He did an excellent piece on Walmart this week. If you haven't had the chance to have a look at it, go to Forbes and check it out. Where the point he made, which is, Walmart's obviously getting into the banking/payments game. Mm-hmm. But the point he made is they don't want to be a bank. They want to be a super app. They want to be a Gojek and Uber, they want to be this platform for all this service layer, and payments are integral to that. Really interesting piece of content. So big nice shout out to Ron for that work this week. I hope you guys don't mind, but it's very applicable. Let's have a break, guys, and then we come back. I want to talk about the talent, how this changes the talent. You know, what are the people behind this at Plaid? And Ben, you know, what sort of talent are you looking for now that you're sort of going down this route? Let's get into that after the break. You're listening to Breaking Banks, guys. We're very grateful to have the support of Plaid as a sponsor, and they're helping us out with the show this week. We'll be right back after some more words from our sponsors.
We all want to know we have enough to get to where we want to go. Either have enough energy to run a marathon, or you're on the side of the road wheezing. How about your startup? Does it have enough cloud computing power to win and handle the really big customers? You might think stable, enterprise-ready cloud infrastructure like Oracle's is out of reach for your new company. But Oracle for Startups was made just for you. Oracle wants to help you land those big customers, so they're offering preferred pricing on enterprise cloud for startups. Free cloud credits and 70% off their cloud services. And with multi-cloud support and no vendor lock-in, you can build it out any way you want. Oracle for Startups won't leave you wheezing on the side of the road. They'll give you enough power to scale and land your dream customers and win the race. Visit oracle.com/go-to/breakingbanks. That's oracle.com/go-to/breakingbanks.
The Finovate podcast is your home for interesting conversations and insights from Finovate's global conference series. I'm Greg Palmer. Join me as I interview leading innovators, bankers, analysts, venture capitalists, and more to get their thoughts and predictions on the future of financial technology. Find us wherever you normally listen to podcasts or at provoke.fm.
You're back with Breaking Banks. I am your host, Brett King, and we have Plaid in the house, along with MSU-FCU, Michigan State University Federal Credit Union. Ben Maxim joining us from there, and from the Financial Access, Head of Product Financial Access, Nico Carvunas, and Plaid Exchange Lead, Jess Romano. So happy to have you guys back with us. The obvious question here really is... the Plaid Exchange as a platform, it seems like this is actually pretty critical for Plaid's business as well, getting more and more financial institutions directly plugged in instead of screen scraping technology and stuff like that. So is that sort of the, part of the core driver for you guys creating the exchange?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way to think about it is that we've always wanted to deliver connectivity to consumers, right? That's sort of the end goal here. Is we share a vision with institutions who are working with us to deliver these services that we've been talking about to, real human beings at the end of this, right? End of this process. And so basically over time, I think we and financial institutions have converged on understanding what those solutions look like, right? In terms of we want to move toward an API-based ecosystem. We want to move toward mutual integrations. We want to move toward a world where data and value is exchanged between us and the financial institution and the end consumer, and done in a way through tight partnership. And so this is really the evolution of the Plaid network. As over time, more of the data sources and institutions who we work with have realized how large our network has grown and how significant the demand is for these services by their end consumers. So I do think it represents, an important new era in Plaid in terms of moving forward and strengthening and scaling our network in partnership with financial institutions. So I do think it's a really exciting time for the business and for our partners as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into the blip on the radar from the acquisition perspective, but do you feel like there's just a more resolved approach from the team? You're getting that feeling that everyone's sort of bedding down and wants to really prove what Plaid can do now?
I don't think that's a now question. I think that's the way we operate every day, no matter what. There's right. We sort of stayed the course and kept sprinting for years, and we'll continue to do so. I think there's a huge amount of opportunity for us as an independent company. I mean, if you just think about everything we're talking about today, right, we're really talking about moving fintech and financial services to the next level in terms of building out this network to help services and consumers. That's what motivates everybody at Plaid every day, no matter sort of what's going on. And that hasn't changed no matter what. And I think it's actually a real strength of our company is the commitment to that mission. And it's a real strength of partners like Ben. The commitment to that mission is what keeps you driving forward and sprinting no matter what else is going on.
Right. Jess, how do you get the word out? How do you get FIs up? Well, I mean, you come on Breaking Banks podcast, that's one way, but how else do you get the word out around what Plaid Exchange is up to?
Yeah, so we definitely try to get the word out in a few different ways. We do have a lot of relationships kind of historically with many institutions. And as Nico was describing, there's kind of been this evolution of how we partner and the ways that we can partner with these institutions. So in Ben's case, we hadn't been in touch before, but I actually think Ben reached out about our commercial products, if I'm not mistaken, initially, to kind of explore that suite of aggregation that we offer. And then we got to talking about data sharing, which is, as you mentioned, integral to our business and integral to all of the consumers that we serve. So oftentimes it's these direct calls, and we love to learn more and more about kind of digital priorities and how they do tend to vary from institution to institution. There are, of course, some common themes, but we do like to have those one-to-one conversations where we can. And then, you know, we get the word out there through different articles, through different speaking engagements, through conferences. Those are a couple of different ways we get things out there. We've also got a great team that publishes, I think, excellent documentation on how the APIs work and the platform. So obviously we have that available as well. But all of that are different ways we kind of get the word out there. And I'll say, just to your point around kind of the importance of Plaid Exchange to Plaid, we're doubling down, or have been doubling down, on hiring efforts and really making sure we have enough folks to get out there and get the message out. Because sometimes we have many, many inquiries about, you know, the way that we can engage. And we're constantly looking for them. So I don't think there's been a better time to join Plaid. To your point about, you know, Visa and the changes that may have caused or not have caused, we're more energized than ever, I would say. And Plaid Exchange is a big piece of that.
I think that's appropriate. I think it's good. Let's talk about, Ben, you know, through this experience, how has this sort of change your view on, you know, the makeup of the team? You know, obviously, you're talking, you know, cloud-based stuff. You're talking about new, you know, APIs and so forth that you're utilizing. You know, these are generally new skills for a financial institution to learn. So, how is the team different from, you know, say IT and web-based stuff of the years gone by?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing, you know, digital credit unions for 13 and a half years. And, you know, I was a developer for the first seven of that. So, yeah, from what I was doing, you know, 13 years ago to what's happening now, a lot of the development is sewing together APIs to make an experience. So we're not trying to build everything ourselves anymore. We've realized we can't build everything, and we shouldn't build certain things. There are experts out there who have done the work for us. It's just tying in and bringing that to be part of our experience.
And probably it's probably cheaper to access as well.
It's by using also partners. Much cheaper. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, using services like Plaid, you know, we need people who are skilled in making those API connections. So it's different than people who are doing, you know, maybe HTML coding or things to do kind of presentation layer stuff. So, you know, we have a different team really focused on it, but it's also opened up. We have a core banking team as well that, you know, they were doing a lot of customizations with core software that allows them to have a little bit more ability to work on some different projects that are kind of in that innovation space and be more involved in the process, because, you know, that's what they were doing for the whole time, is making these data connections. So that's huge. We also do a lot of our own infrastructure at the credit union as well. Cloud services has kind of been that, you know, we need to get into this, you know, but we're, you know, credit union, we're conservative, you know, we like to have everything on-prem. So it's been an evolution there as well. So, you know, we've done some hiring over the past few years that have helped.
Just tell them it's not as safe on-prem.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. but yeah, so, you know, the cloud, you know, we're becoming more open to it. You know, we've hired some people with experience there. We're relying on vendor partners, where traditionally we would have tried to do the work ourselves. So, you know, looking for cloud experts and looking for, you know, some of these solutions to help position ourselves to move into these different areas and understand the benefit of them.
And
you have a group dedicated to this, right?
No, that's fine. Yep. So yeah, we have a small team dedicated to doing this project. So we pulled in people from infrastructure and security, combined them with some members of our dev team that are really focused on those integrations that we do with different APIs, including creating our own APIs. We created our own online and mobile banking in the past, and we're really just leveraging kind of that skill set of people that helped build out those, you know, those connections are, you know, as well. So, you know, the experience there, I think, gave us a leg up.
Are you building apps natively?
So we build our apps natively.
That's great.
Yeah, I did our first iOS app back in 2012. So, you know, it was fun. There was a decision we made then to, you know, do it natively, not do the hybrid thing. The hybrid stuff was not working as well, to go cross-platform between iOS and Android. And we, you know, really wanted to capture the experience and make it as good as it could be.
Fantastic. Who did you need on side to get this to happen? You know, because you must have sponsors in the organization. Did you get the CEO directly involved? Is the board involved in this? Is it, you know, just explain to me, you know, who's really sponsored this from on high?
So I at the beginning of last year moved into my current role as AVP of Digital Strategy and Innovation, and I report directly to our CEO. A little backstory on how I got to where I was. She hired me into the credit union when she was VP at e-commerce long ago when I started the credit union. We do what we all call digital today, kind of as a separate unit. We got the band back together in January. I'm a team of one, but, you know, I have to work with different areas of the business to get support for it. Honestly, the Visa acquisition kind of buzz created a lot of excitement around Plaid and the executive team. We do a lot of work with Visa and have a strong partnership there. So a lot of our executives are familiar with that and then became familiar with Plaid as a result. And then all kind of very open to saying, oh yeah, you know, and started, part of my reach out in the beginning was, you know, what's going on with the acquisition? How can we get involved in this? And this was before, you know, Plaid Exchange was coming out in May. So talking about the commercial products, what can we do with it? And I was thinking of it as a toolkit as we were starting our innovation center for our dev team to create some custom solutions and maybe be what those fintechs are doing kind of for ourselves and see how we can integrate that into our own experience. But then, you know, as talking to the team more and then getting more material and sharing with the teams, our frontline areas are getting a lot of phone calls and chats regarding different fintech apps that are working. So that started to build the business case as well. So our members were asking us for it. So really listening to our members made the business case an easy sell. We had a lot of projects coming out of COVID, and, you know, this Plaid Exchange implementation, it was the only new project approved for this quarter. So the executive team really believed in that. And our steering committee said, you know, this one has to go forward because the enablement it does for a lot of the other fintech partnerships we'd like to be doing and have already started doing with a couple of fintechs here in Michigan, that, you know, we wanted to make the experience as good as it could be. And it was an easy sell, honestly. I think it's a hard concept for people to understand where they fit in for some people. But once you tell them, you know, they're the plumbers of the, you know, the industry, the ones that help make, you know, build the pipes that everything flows through, you know, that really helped get everyone on board with it.
So you guys may or may not know this, but I secured the first patent in the US and in the world on financial wellness, right? So it's something I feel very passionately about. Myself, Alex Sion, and Mo Khalil, when we, in the early days of Movin', we put together this financial wellness focus and play from an IP perspective. But one of the things that's become sort of fairly clear over the last few years is that millennials, but more so Gen Zs, you know, their financial literacy is quite poor. They're not taught about managing money and budgeting and so forth. But we, of course, have the technology and the tools to now do a lot of that work for them, right? And so when we come to this topic of financial wellness, you know, individual member financial health, Ben, you know, for you, Jess, Nico, what do you think is going to happen over the next few years, or what are the best use cases you've seen in respect to using this aggregated data and helping people get a better, you know, view of their financial health and well-being overall? Who wants to start?
Yeah. Ben, you want to start? I can start. Yep, I'll go ahead and start. One of the first fintech partnerships we did last year and secured was with a company called Pocket Nest, based out of Michigan. And their focus is the millennial financial wellness experience. They're trying to be, you know, a financial planner for that kind of cohort, and then the Gen Z group coming behind them, and really focus on, you know, the group that isn't going to an Edward Jones or whoever, you know, you think of as a traditional, you know, financial planner, you know, and bring more access to really, you know, they work through 10 different themes. They talk to you about, you know, how do you get your debt under control, how you do budgeting, and different things like that, and really give you kind of this holistic view of everything you have flowing in. You know, they connect the aggregation, you know, via Plaid, and you can see that whole picture of where the money is going, coming, and then they give you recommendations on, you know, what do you do next? How do you get yourself, you know, out of debt, and as you go through your kind of different life stages. So the millennials, we used to think of it as younger. Now, I'm one of them. We're buying houses, we're having families, well established for some of the older cohort. So they need different things throughout the different life stages. So looking for things that will follow them as they change and move through their lives and their needs change, I think is really important. I think making it more accessible, they want to do it on their own. There's another partnership we're looking at pursuing right now with a company called Live, Give, Save, where the focus is on giving and using, yes, you get the spending habits and different things like that, but it also automates the giving experience. And we all know Gen Z is very into millennials as well, but Gen Z, there's a huge focus on supporting causes. And this is an app that gives them both
absolutely
kind of in their pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the giving, the social cohesion of Gen Z as a group is very, very interesting to look at. And it's not defined by race or which patch of ground they live on. They tend to be a lot more woke. as respect to that sort of social integration. They see humanity as a species and they think we've got some big problems and they've grown up in a world where they're all connected. Right. As Jess, as you were saying, did you guys want to add something on the sort of financial needs, financial wellness side?
Yeah, sure. I think there's sort of two themes. So, again, my background, I've been doing this for a number of years and in this sort of Plaid role of being a part of this network and being a platform that actually powers a lot of the apps that are actually developing, right? So we sort of get a frontline view of innovation and fintech as it sort of marches on. And there are a couple of trends that sound a little bit like buzzwords, but are really important when you dig into them, right? Which is just everyone, user experience is one of them, right? Which encompasses a lot. But what it really means in this case is like the difference between a financial advisor sending you a 4-page report that's full of statistics and graphs, and the idea that you get a notification that tells you one thing, right? Or helps you focus on one thing. And I think that sort of having a focused user experience is something that digital natives, folks who grow up on these smartphones, that's the way they want to engage with information. And frankly, I think it's the way all human beings want to engage with information, right? I don't think anybody, I don't even think it's a generational, like you'd rather, if you're looking for advice, you'd rather have a smart recommendation that tells you to do something instead of 10 pages of tables, right? And so increasingly,
absolutely,
apps are really tailoring that. And the second part of it, as Ben mentioned, is automation, right? So instead of telling me what it is that I should do, I have authorized you by joining this app, understanding what you do and setting things up to do it, right? So if I want to put some money away on a regular interval to invest, that's why I'm here. So just do it for me, please, right? If I want to make sure that I'm paying my bills on the best day,
how hard is
it? I understand that.
Telling me when I can't afford a bill coming up in 3 months' time, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like don't just tell me, just do it. Just do it because that's why I'm here, right? So those two things I think are really defining that sort of sense of contextual finance is really what's pushing the use cases forward. And I think those are the themes that we just keep doubling and tripling down on as these apps keep innovating, and it's really exciting.
Jess, did you want to add something?
No, I think these guys pretty much covered it. And good. I'd say just, from a partnership standpoint, Plaid is looking to partner, of course, with the likes of all of our financial institution partners like Ben and MSU, but we also are partnering with other technology providers that are recognizing the need for all of this change and the need to make it as kind of accessible as possible, not just for consumers, but for all of the institutions that are providing these services to consumers. So you mentioned earlier, how are we getting the word out? And I should have said, we're also working with many great partners like MuleSoft and Jack Henry to kind of mass enable as many participants in the ecosystem as we can for these types of services.
Of course. Ben, put your futurist hat on. You're a MSU FCU member in 5 years' time. What's your day-to-day experience with your money like?
Yeah, I think that automation is the hope here. I would like to do, I think what a lot of people are focused on is how do I pay my bills? When do I pay them? How do I budget for certain things? Being able to do that for them, they don't want to think about, opening up Excel and setting this up. And we've done a lot of financial education and we do seminars and we have a huge, affiliation with the university to kind of teach these skills. But, I think we have the tools and, you know, the enablement in this open finance ecosystem to just do it for people. You know, 5 years from now, there's going to be how many more hundreds or thousands of different players in this space that are trying to do just that for people, you know, enabling, you know, and there's going to be different kind of niches to each of those. You know, so if I want something that helps with giving, I'm going to pick the thing with giving. If I want something that, you know, really, you know, is more of a coach style, like teach me, you know, what to do, I'm going to select the thing that makes sense for me. And I want all my institutions to support that. And if they're not the ones who are going to do it, they're going to go somewhere else. So us as a credit union, we're looking for that enablement for all these services and to get our members to understand that we're helping enable that for them and that we're putting them in charge of their data and experience. And we're here to support them through whatever kind of that need is. And really that automation is key to all this. No one gets out of the checkbook register. No one's doing Excel stuff. They want to just look in their account and whoever can tell them, you know, what's going on is who they're going to choose.
Great. Well, I'm going to ask you guys a question now, and I bet you this is the first time you've ever been asked this on a podcast. If you haven't, I'll be surprised, but if you have, then please let me know as well. Apple is talking about releasing smart glasses in 2022. So how would you use aggregated data in a real-time head-up display, you know, field of view in a smart glasses scenario?
I have not been asked that, but so congratulations, you did it. First thing that comes to mind, which is completely uninformed by anything except the fact that I love crazy ideas, is looking at stuff and seeing if you can afford it.
Yeah.
You ever seen
when you got this is the one I used in my book. See if you like this one. You walk into an Apple store and you're looking at a brand new, you know, pair of the new Air Max Pro headphones or whatever, $500, and it flashes up in your field of view, your rent reminder, because if you buy those headphones, you won't be able to pay your rent.
The guilt alerts, real-time guilt alerts.
It's the angel on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Jess,
you definitely need a way to turn those notifications off when I'm doing stuff that I want to be doing, shopping and whatnot.
Silent mode.
No, but yes. I think that exactly snooze button on those. No, but I do think it could be very helpful and very interesting. You know, not going to postulate completely there, but you know, if I was trying to evaluate maybe couple different services on my screen, right? Even if they were financial services, and kind of being able to see a quick comparison side by side of those services, perhaps that would be something cool to see in the future.
Yeah, cool. All right. So, look, we've only got a few minutes left. Let me ask you guys, if Ben, I'll ask you this first, and then Jess, jump in if you wish. If you're the head of digital at a community bank or a credit union, and you're listening to this right now, and you're like, boy, we've got to get our act into gear on this. Where do you start, Ben?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you know, I think really the starting point is to contact Plaid, you know, and have them talk through, and they're good at kind of advising.
This is why you guys invited him on the show, right?
Exactly. Right. I had a good experience. Yeah. not trying to just sell for them, but they really did make it a good experience. It's well documented for our developers. You know, I think there are other, you know, if you're looking for contractors to get started, you know, there's ways to do this. We have a robust in-house dev team. We have the skills in-house to be able to do this. It's not required. You know, there are people out there that can help enable this. Some of the partnerships that I just mentioned with MuleSoft and Jack Henry enable it for some. The clients that are already working there. So I think look for some of those partnerships. Does someone you're working with already have a partnership? And really, you know, being able to talk through what it is. It's easy, honestly, to set up as long as you have, you know, the access to it. But really, it's important to get started. Your members are going to go elsewhere. Your customers are going to go elsewhere if you're a community bank where, you know, that can support it. They're going to look for, you know, the Chimes or the Bank of America's or the Wells or whoever's doing this. They're going to go there first. So if you want to keep them and retain them, you know, they may still have an account with the credit union community bank, but they're going to have Capital One, whoever else, like as the person that's helping facilitate a lot of this aggregation type stuff. And then their money will slowly move over there as a result. So really talk to the team at Plaid. They're really good advisors. Beyond just Plaid Exchange, they've helped us solve a couple other problems that we're going to look into later this year that we tried to solve with other technology solutions that, you know, they have kind of ready-made solutions for when we're able to integrate to their APIs. So it's more than just, you know, aggregation. They have a lot to offer.
Great. Fantastic. You guys have anything to add? Nika, where do you start?
As usual, Ben nailed it. No, I think, you know, that's the right attitude though, right? Is that this is a partnership. This is, if we are the experts in this, we've been doing financial APIs for years, right? We are sort of the node of the network that makes this thing run. So.
Let me ask you a question here. This is another sort of interesting.
Glasses?
No. It's not about smart glasses. How many of the, and Ben, I'll exclude you from this, but how many of the banks that come to you actually now have on the org chart someone responsible for fintech partnerships?
That's a great question. A lot, right? This is sort of a new development. Like the incoming that we're seeing is multiple a week, and it sits in a real place in the organization, right? And it's great. Viewed as a priority, and you're not sort of piecing it together across folks in disparate places. And, you know, a few years ago, right, when we would be in the early days of connectivity, when that wasn't the case, it would be hard to find who to talk to. And you'd be sort of running through the org to figure out who would even care. And then fintech, I think, really accelerated. And now it's actually really a dedicated role in these organizations, which makes the partnership angle much more efficient, and really exciting to pursue together.
Great. All right, guys, we got to wrap this up. Where can people find out more about Plaid Exchange and the initiative you guys have launched?
Yeah, so as Ben mentioned, we'd love to speak with all of you out there that are interested in talking about Plaid Exchange or open finance. We have a page on our website dedicated to Plaid Exchange. So that's on the Plaid website, plaid.com. We also have an email alias, plaid-exchange@plaid.com. That is an email that I will receive as well as my teammates, or you can reach out to me or Nico directly, and we'll get you to the right place.
Awesome. So we'll, if you guys have got Twitter IDs or something like that to share with us as well, we will tweet those out so our listeners can check that out in real time. Thank you, Nico Kavounas, Efaristo, and Jess Romano. Thanks for joining us. You know, okay. A boy from Melbourne, I've got to use my Greek when I can. And Ben.
Yeah, nicely done.
I haven't been to Michigan, but I have to one day, and all the best with this program.
Thank you, Brett. Thank
Great.
You very much.
Thanks, Brett.
All right, that's a wrap. We'll see you guys next week. You're listening to Breaking Banks, and we'll be here every week, just as we have for the last 8 years. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again next week on Breaking Banks.
That's it for this week. If you like the show, make sure to give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform, or share it with a friend, or share it on social media.
We'll see you again next week with more Breaking Banks.